Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing okay.
Good.
Just waiting for Joe.
Yes, Joseph.
He's spinning there.
Bad connection, perhaps.
Could be. There he is.
It never fails. The first time, it never gives me anything that I have to jump off and jump back on. So weird.
My
That's
computer
weird.
always asks up when I, acts up when I lose power, and we lost power last night, so.
What was going on? Did you have weather, or
Well,
this was
last
a
week we lost it on Sunday, early in the morning, because of an accident, and I guess
Oh, wow.
yesterday was due to faulty equipment, so. Maybe they replaced something because of the accident with some cheap equipment and it didn't work.
Yeah, right. Just something to tide them over.
Yeah,
Something.
it was about out 2 hours yesterday.
Yeah, wow.
It's all these electric cars. They're sucking all the energy out of the
Is there a
power
lot of
grid.
electric cars there?
Yeah, quite a bit.
Okay. That hadn't taken over Iowa yet.
I would imagine it would be slower over there. They
I've
have
seen
a.
some, but not a ton.
Yeah, I see the chargers more than I see the cars.
Me too.
Yeah.
Well, for us, there's like a lot. Everywhere you look, there's a Tesla.
Really?
Yeah.
When I was in Denver, I remember everybody had Subarus. That was the big vehicle, like in the early
Outbacks,
2000s.
yeah. They needed all-wheel drive, that's why.
Yep.
Interesting.
Because of the weather, you don't want your tires spinning.
Yeah.
You want all four to spin at the same
Right.
time on ice.
Mike, I'm sorry about Harley.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, it's
I
been
hated
rough.
hearing that.
That's quiet over here. It's so unusual.
Yeah.
Could usually hear her yelling in the background.
That's right.
How old was she?
She was about 13.
Okay.
Yeah, she had up until about 2 weeks before she passed, she was doing fairly all right. And then just things started to shut down.
Yeah.
It's never, that's never easy.
No.
Well, it's never good when it's quick either, because we took ours to the vet, Ben. This was back in 2020, and we thought he was fine the day he went, and then he was gone in a week, and we didn't even know anything was wrong,
Yeah, that's got to be a shock.
So when it goes downhill quick, that's always not good.
So you're able to join us for an hour, is that it, right? Or an
Yeah,
hour
I'll
and a
be on for like
half?
an hour and a half or so. Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
I got something to do around 11:30, so I just gotta give myself enough time to get off.
Anything fun, or you gotta go work?
No, not work or anything. Just I'm supposed to go get some errands done. Gotta go pick up groceries, that sort of thing. But so we got like a pickup scheduled, so
Ah.
yeah. You wait too
Cool.
long on that window, they don't they'll make you sit out there for 25, 30 minutes. So
Yeah.
found that out the hard way. Too late.
So how have you guys been?
I'm all right. What about you, Rob?
I'm okay. Just we've been busy. This month has just been absolutely crazy. Just a lot of stuff that we're doing, a lot of stuff going on, and
With the kids or with
I mean, combined, just between the kids, what we've got going on. You'll be happy to know I've got my first colonoscopy coming on Thursday,
Yeah.
I'm
so that'll
very
be a
happy to know
I
that.
can't
That
I
oh, that'll
can't
be a lot
wait
of
for that
fun.
prep. The prep work has got to start soon.
Michael, guess what?
It started.
No, because it's the day before. But
I thought it was a couple days before.
It's like a
gradual thing, I thought.
It was, they said starting at that all day. Well, yeah, you're right. Cause
it starts
on
Tuesday.
I can't eat anything on Wednesday, but my appointment's not until like 12:45 p.m. on Thursday.
Okay.
So it really is like a full day and a half, pretty much. You know what I mean?
Well, you could have Jell-O, right?
Jell-O
up to a certain
and raw.
Point.
Yeah.
Not color Jell-O, but certain kinds.
Right. And anything that's clear. I'm going to be drinking a lot of vodka.
Yeah. Broth is pretty gross. I try to do the broth
stuff.
They said
no alcoholic beverages.
Coffee, no sugar, no cream.
They didn't say no sugar in this. It just said no cream.
Oh, okay. Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you can even have like Sprite or ginger ale and stuff too.
I was drinking Sprite and Powerade the day before.
But you have to drink the crap along with the Powerade, right?
Well, that's what I wanted to tell you, Mike. Guess what? I talked to one of my friends that had hers a couple of years ago, and then after she had it, she heard from a friend, you can request pills, tablets. Now, and that's what I did. It's called Sudutab or something like that. And I got to take like 12 pills in like 20 minutes the day before.
That sounds absolutely
in 20 minutes, like first thing on Thursday morning, like 5 a.m.
Horrible.
I wonder if that hits you faster than liquid. I wonder if that's worse than liquid or if it's same as.
I'll let you know how the pills go. I'm not sure that's a liquid, but I can tell you. I'll let you know.
It's a full breakdown the day after.
Yeah. So I'm going to use this as part of my weight loss regimen, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm hoping for a good 2 pounds from that.
Oh, you'll get more than 2 pounds, buddy.
Yeah, it's like 4. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, you'll lose like 4, but you get it back pretty quickly
I'll try to be careful.
If you eat a lot.
Yeah, the intestines have anywhere from 4 to 6 pounds of matter in them at any given time. So, yeah, you get all that cleaned out. You might even lose like 6 or 7 pounds, depending on how much you got in there.
Be like, oh, I made my goal.
There you go.
Oh my God, if I did that right now, I would hit my goal.
So I mean, that's just one of the things, and I mean, it's just a lot of like, there's not like anything like crazy or whatever. Just a lot of appointments. The kids have, you know, dentist appointments coming up. I've got that coming up. I've got to get my car inspected by the end of the month, and we're already on the 22nd. There's just a lot of stuff going on. That's all. And you know, only so many hours in the day. So,
when all the X-Men launch again, what are you going to do, Rob?
What do you mean?
Are you going to keep the core titles, or are you going to keep getting all of them, or?
I'm not sure. I'm gonna see what's being offered.
Mm-hmm.
I'll probably, for the most part, keep. I mean, it depends on my level of enjoyment. I'll probably try all of the titles to start out with. I've been solidly getting all of them. The only one that I had dropped was that second Marauders, and then I don't think that's going on anymore now. Anyhow.
Where are you
Is
getting
Steve
the
Orlando?
Yeah, he just wasn't doing it for me.
Yeah, I don't like him either.
There's some titles that he's done in the past that I really liked.
At DC, maybe? No, I don't like the Marvel stuff.
He did okay with Shadow. Mm-hmm. I thought he did a really good Shadow.
Shadow was good. A couple of the Midnighter stuff was good.
I liked it. Yeah.
Yeah. But
Scarlet Witch is really good, I think. I mean, I like his current Scarlet Witch run.
I haven't been. You know what? I read the first issue on digital. I thought it was okay, but it didn't allow me to keep reading it.
Well, now that you're digital, you could keep going.
Yeah, I could. Yeah. Yeah.
Especially if you get a late shipment, you got lots of reading time.
Yes. Oh my God, that last time was insane. It was like a almost a full. It was 3 days short of a month
Well,
between shipments.
they skipped a week on me, and then I got an
Me
email that
too.
said, we haven't been getting our diamond shipments, blah blah
Yeah,
blah. And then I
diamonds
got
was
two
coming.
back-to-back shipments. I got one on Friday and one on Saturday.
You know that I gotta be honest, like it just it kind of like it's not the biggest deal in the world, but it just kind of irritates me just a little bit that they say they're going to ship weekly or they're going to ship twice a month, and they clearly don't. But then they'll just throw another shipment in there anyhow. Like they'll ship you
Yeah.
twice in one week for you, Mike, or they'll ship me now. They're going to ship three times in October. Well, that's not twice monthly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not. I got one shipment in September, all of September. That
That's what.
just irritates me.
Well,
That's
they
why
should have refunded your money back for one of them.
I
they
asked.
won't
They
though.
ignored that request and just said we're shipping. You know, we shipped this out and we're shipping, giving you another shipment right away.
So you just
That's what they
got two
did to
back to
me.
back.
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to be biweekly and they missed like three or 4 weeks in a row, and I was like, can I get a refund on that, like from like a month ago? And they just did weekly till they got caught up with the shipments they owed me. So
Yeah,
they
which is
won't, they
not,
won't.
that's not the equivalent.
No, it's
It
not. I'd
doesn't.
rather have the like $8 back or whatever.
Absolutely.
I
Yeah,
don't
I mean,
care personally.
I know you
I'm
don't.
like I don't give a shit. It's like I got so much shit to read that it's like I just don't care.
Yeah.
It'll get here when it gets here. I don't like when it's like back to back though, because then I have to process them like two boxes of.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It's like a short box of comics. It's a
I'll tell
lot.
you a horror story though, Mike. Rob's already heard it.
Oh boy.
So like last week, no, 2 weeks ago now. On Friday, I was supposed to get my comic shop and it said delivered. I was like, oh, cool. So I get home and it's not there. And then I looked at the actual UPS page to see what it said. It said met customer at door.
Oh shit.
I was like, they didn't meet no customer at door. Nobody was
Somebody was
home.
posing as Joe,
Yeah.
So then I sent
Standing on
it.
his porch.
So I sent an email to my comic shop and, they're not there on the weekends, but they wrote me back on Monday and said, well, we talked to UPS and they reopened the case and they'll see what's going on. So my wife logs on, case was open for 3 minutes and UPS said investigation closed after 3 minutes. I was like, how the hell can they investigate for 3 minutes?
Yeah.
So then I get the next day, I get a email from my comic shop and they said, well, they tried to reach out to you, but you didn't answer. And I was like, didn't answer. They didn't call me. They didn't leave anything on the
Yeah.
door. What are they talking about? And how did they try to reach me? They called me once in 3 minutes, then said, screw it. So then I called they said, call this number. So I called that number and it was just automated. And I was like, what the
Yeah.
frick? Give me a bit.
Those are a nightmare 'cause you end up in a circle jerk.
Oh my God, so much so. Like you say your shipment's missing or what, or it hasn't come. And they're like, well, check your neighbors and make sure that, it, like,
Right.
And
Yeah, I get one.
I'm just sitting there talking and recording. Talk to operator. Talk to
Me too. That's
operator.
what I
Talk
did.
to
That's what I did. I
operator.
said, may I speak to a human, please? So I got a hold of somebody, and she's like, oh, that case got resolved already. I was like, no, it hasn't. So here's the deal. So I tell her the story. She's like, oh, that doesn't sound right. And I said, no, it's not right. So
God.
she said, I'll get you back in 2 business days. And I was like, okay. So then I get off the phone, says case reopened. By the time I checked again that night, it said case closed. I was like, what the frick
What
is
the
going
fuck?
on here?
Oh God, this sounds like
So
a
I wrote my
nightmare.
comic shop and I told them what was going on. And they said, well, we'll follow up one more time. So finally, Thursday, a week after this, they called me and said the driver had found it, whatever the frick that means, that they had dropped it off somewhere and somehow it was still in perfect shape. And that they'd be bringing it to me on Friday. So I
That's
got it.
that sounds weird.
It was on the
It's
side of the road.
at you, right? So I get it Friday, and it took a full week for basically them to find this. So bleep UPS. That's what
Plus,
I've got to
plus,
say.
plus, plus. Oh, I've had horror stories with UPS.
But my thing is, Mike, they were ready to
I've
rip off
actually.
me and my comic
Oh
shop.
no! I've been. I've I've had problems with UPS. I've driven around like blocks, chasing down
I'm picturing you
trucks,
doing that,
chasing
Mike.
down trucks because they say it's delivered, and I said,
Yeah.
I didn't get it. Where did
Yeah.
you put this thing? I mean,
Right.
luckily for like honesty of certain people, I would have been, I lost like at least half a dozen packages in 5 years.
Yeah.
And
Well,
they're
this.
only when they switch to UPS though. I never have an issue with FedEx here.
And
They're
it's so
like,
funny because we've
I
talked
don't
about
either.
this so many times. Everything you say is what I experience with FedEx, and it's the
Right.
polar opposite for me in my area for UPS. It's like UPS could not be any better, and FedEx is absolutely insane how bad it is here.
I think the guy on our route must be bad, is what I think.
Oh yeah, for sure. Well, but more than that, because you had all those issues with the case itself. So
Yeah.
it's the area itself. It
Yeah.
probably the way it's
Did
managed.
they
Yeah.
did you when you opened up the package, did it look like somebody had opened it before? 'Cause they pack
No.
their stuff pretty good.
It has they have that tape that's like hardcore packing tape with like the strings intertwined in it. It was good. So it had.
I wonder why they said case closed the first time.
I don't know.
Like
I don't
who
know.
closed it? Did somebody like find it and they said, "Okay, we'll close the case," and then put it back in the truck and then lost it again? I don't get it.
Yeah, it was super sketchy because I'm like, how could you meet? And because they're supposed to take a picture, right? And it says look
Yeah.
at photo, and you click at photo, and all it was saying was met customer. I'm like, that's not a photo, and you obviously didn't meet me because I
And
wasn't there. So I
that's
don't know.
one that's always shipped to the same address too. Like it's not like they
Yeah.
put another address, so.
And we have a huge porch. It's not like that. It doesn't have plenty of cover that they could have put it on. So
Yeah.
that's one of those I called shenanigans. I thought it was super sketchy. So
Yeah.
I think the driver screwed up, and I think he wasn't wanting to own up to it is what I think happened. So,
Yeah, but
because
for a week, usually a screw up's a
right.
day or two.
Well, I think it took multiple calls from me and from my comic shop and good customer service on their part. Because that's what finally got the thing found, I think. Because I
Yeah.
don't know if they cared,
That's the
you
way
know.
the medical field is now too. You're calling for an appointment, you can't talk to a doctor. You're
Yep.
talking to an automated machine for so long, and you go down a path and they're, oh, you're disconnected. You gotta
Yep,
start
you either
over
get hung
again.
up on or you
It's
just start
like,
from the very beginning
Jesus
again. Oh,
Christ.
God, right. That's
Joe,
where
can
you.
you imagine if that had happened from DCBS, though, instead of my comic shop?
Oh, it would have been like 2 or 3 weeks before I heard back, probably.
Well,
But you.
the problem is the delay in the replies.
That's what
So
I mean.
they can
I had
prep.
a. That's funny you say that because that got solved. I got a DCBS the week before, and they shorted me a Transformers, and that took almost the same amount of time for me to get the credit. They did apologize for their tardiness, but yeah, it took them 2 weeks for me to get the Transformers put into the shipment. So that's the one thing I wish DCBS had in place that my comic shop does. So okay, like if I ordered Transformers number one, once, it'll tell me if I try to order again, you have already ordered this. Do you want to continue? Whereas DCBS does not tell you if you've ordered something
Yeah,
previously.
that's how I got
True.
two Transformers number ones.
Well, luckily, one of them was for my son. But what if one of them had been because I wasn't paying attention? Because they were on two different orders, so I wonder if that's how they
Yeah.
messed it up. So I wish they had something in place like my comic shop does, because this damn Justice Society is driving me crazy. Because
Oh, God,
I'm
yeah.
worried I'm going to miss issues because they keep canceling and moving and canceling, and I'm like, I don't even know if I've gotten them all right so far.
We'll be lucky if it finishes because
Right?
Geoff Johns is off on his ghost machine.
It's true. It's been a good series, though. I hope they do get it finished.
I wouldn't even care if they finish it and let somebody else take over. Just I think somebody else could finish it.
I
I
wouldn't
will.
even mind it being late, but quit canceling them and re-soliciting them. That's what frustrates me.
Yeah, why
I
do they do that? I don't get it.
don't know. I'd
Because
rather just be late.
with other companies, it stays It stays unfulfilled for a year.
For years.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm like, I'd rather
I never
it
got
be
that
like
Red
that
5
with
flip book.
DCBS. I mean, DC.
Yeah.
But you can switch, Rob. You can go like to Cowabunga probably and get an equivalent, experience with DCBS. Like my comic shop, their shipping is just, it's outrageous in my opinion.
Not for
No,
the. I think theirs is
I
pretty
don't want to
comparable on
switch.
the
I get annoyed every once in a while. And I'm in a different boat than you, though, Mike. It's like, I'm caught up. So then I literally, I'm just,
But
like you said,
you're also paying for an app, and you can like read tons of shit that you're not getting.
I could, yeah. And I was reading, I went back, I was reading some collections that I had sitting aside, too. So it's not. I had stuff that I was reading. I was just, I knew that other one was just piling up, and I wanted to get to some new material. I
Now
was
you have
excited to read.
too much material.
Yeah, I
So
got a bunch.
what they've done at my comic shop now is, if you're a subscriber, it's a quarter a book. So you just add it into your subscription box, and I think their shipping's about the same as DCBS right now. I think it's $9 per shipment if you're a subscriber. So.
Oh, if you're a subscriber,
Yep.
I
So if
paid
you,
$60 for a box. That was
yeah.
fucking outrageous. And that was the cheapest option. I was like, I don't give a shit if it takes 7 days or
How many
two
books do you think you
weeks.
got?
It wasn't any bigger than a DCBS box.
Okay. Well, because I was gonna say, if it was a quarter a book, and you could just like order like one thing a month from just so you can piggyback everything, and then you wouldn't have a. It might be cheaper. I don't know.
Yeah, it used to be I could select a shipping option that was cheap. And there,
Yeah.
like before the pandemic, there was even options for free shipping.
Yeah.
Like, so it wasn't like, so I felt like when I was ordering a big shipment, I was getting my value still. And now I don't
Yeah.
feel like it anymore, 'cause that's $60. That's
Right.
like
No, I
60
agree.
more. And that's the lowest I could go. So yes, there was at least, I don't know, 300 books in there, but
Right.
it wasn't any more than a DCBS shipment. And
No.
yeah, so I was like, God dang. I mean, I get it. Shipping's expensive, but that was too much. Like
Yeah.
that's why I'm only trying to limit my back issues from them to
Yeah, I
like
get.
once a year, like just get once a year, 'cause I'd rather go through Aaron. Or I mean, Aaron, the problem with Aaron is he starts stocking stuff that I already have,
Yeah.
and it's just random. Then there's the guy that does the Twitter auctions, which I'm very I am happy with his stuff, because
Who is that? I don't think I've ever seen that.
His gradings are crazy. I don't even know if I want to tell you, because
I'm not getting. Jeez.
Is it the dude with the egg
Yes.
avatar? Yeah, I've seen his
Yeah.
stuff. He usually
That
tags me.
it
Well,
doesn't make a difference.
he puts he puts them cheap. Like
Yeah,
they're
I'll hook
cheaper
you up,
they're
Rob.
cheaper than my comic shop, and they're in good shape. That like
Yeah.
they're usually like fine or higher. So like I'm really happy with it. No, I'll give you his information. But it's aggressive,
Was
because
just curious because
it
I want to
happens
see what
on
you're getting.
Wednesdays and Saturdays at
Yeah.
8 p.m. Well,
Yeah.
8 p.m. my time. And
Yeah.
then it essentially goes up, and then like seconds it's gone. At least
Yeah,
all the
it's good
good stuff.
stuff too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's times when they seem to be like Marvel fanatics, so like when he goes like Daredevil or Spider-Man, it's like people just they get them within like too fast, like
Yeah.
seconds. Unless you're like there on your computer and hitting refresh, 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 then you got a chance. But
Yeah.
then sometimes like some obscure stuff like people don't give a shit about. Like this morning, he had a copy of Champion Sports from DC Comics, and I was like, I want that. and it lasted through this morning. So there's a lot of stuff that you can get like pretty quick, but if it's a, like he had some Silver Age like detective comics with Catman on it, like no, they might have even been like almost borderline Golden Age, but they were like probably pre-Flash Showcase 4. But they went for cheap, and they were nice copies. I would have loved to have them. But
so
it's
what
like
you should...
seconds. It's like boom, and people do this. Like when I was winning stuff, I would just go all, even though like I had, if there were six books and I had two of the six, I would just bite it on the two so I could get the others. And I would just, because
yeah.
I could type all faster than looking up what I
Which
need.
Ones
And
you read,
yeah,
yeah.
So I just boom. So that was my secret. Now that I'm like, I'm not winning as much and I'm just watching it, you know, I'm just. There. He always throws some interesting stuff in there, like some Charltons, and he knows that I'm after the Charltons. Like I don't care what the Charlton is, like it could be anything, and I want it.
You should reach out to him and ask if he can just tell you ahead of time what he's going to put up, and then you can.
No, but his personality. I don't know this guy. I would be fascinated to interview him, because. He's not like Aaron. Like Aaron puts book at like market value, maybe sometimes a little less depending on what it is, but it's usually market value. This guy puts it like low. Like I don't know where he gets it from or why he's making limited money, and the shipping is honest shipping. He'll tell you like it's this weight and this is what it's going to cost. I don't know why he does it, but he likes the competition, because it's not a bidding war. Like I would outbid 90% of those guys on some of the books.
Yeah.
You know, I would just say, no, I want that. You know, I'm going to get that. And I don't have that option. It's first come, first serve. Like you lose it. Like he had an Angel and Ape. God dang, I wanted that bad.
Mm-hmm.
Angel and Ape number 4. And they just show up. Like he previews books during the week. Like, here's what I'm going to do. And it's usually like House of Mysteries. Like, or he'll say, I'm doing Amazing Spider-Mans or Daredevils. And then so you get an idea of what he gets. But what's in that gold for me is the stuff that he doesn't advertise because they're the more obscure stuff. Like the other stuff I already own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't gotten back issue purchase in a very long time. Just trying to.
Yeah,
cut
it makes
back
sense.
On how much
I almost rather have, I don't know how you guys feel, but I'm at the point where I almost rather do back issues than current. I don't know why, but at least in some areas.
I go back and forth.
Yeah.
Sometimes I enjoy the brevity of a new book, you know?
Yeah.
But sometimes I just want a deep dive and I want something that's going to be dense and it's going to take me a while to read. And I don't know. I'm all over the place.
Well, you were just talking about the Palmiotti Kickstarters, and
yeah,
like the one thing I could say about his stuff is his stuff is dense. Like
right.
You get one of his Kickstarters, whether it's 32 pages or 20 pages, it'll take you a good 15 minutes to read, like 15, 20 minutes. They're not like quick pictures only kind of views. There's a lot of meat in them. So like,
mm-hmm.
I've been getting his, and I'd rather have him do like I like his new paradigm. He didn't do it with this Western one coming up, but he would do like two issues at once, like boom, boom.
Yeah.
And that is the one I really like when he does that. But I get it. Like, I mean, just doing my comic, I'm like, God damn, And this is like bare bones cheap. It's expensive to fucking recoup your money like without a hell of a loss. Like so I get why they do that because they don't want to have a loss. Like that's their that's
No,
his
they're
that's
I mean
his
they're
that
doing it
that's
to make some
Jimmy
money.
Palmiotti's bread and butter. I know he's gonna be writing Gunslinger Spawn, but what else is he doing, you know? That
Well,
he's
what was
doing
his last
those.
big job was probably Harley that I can think of, wasn't
Yeah, his last big job. He's done a
it?
couple of Red Sonjas for
Yeah.
Dynamite with
Yeah.
Amanda. But and usually Amanda's now writing. She's not drawing. Like she's co-writer on stuff.
Yeah, I
So
mean, I have no doubt that it's going to be awesome, and I've got some of his Kickstarters before, and obviously he's super reliable and super timely. I got nothing but good things to say about how he runs the Kickstarters. I just can't afford to be spending that much for,
well,
that
Kickstarters in
size.
general are way too much. Like,
I've
so like
really, really come off of
I've
Kickstarters.
sort of limited myself to like, I'm just gonna get stuff that I either by people I know that I like, that have done Kickstarters before and I know it's good, or the continuing series. Like, I'm not trying to add in more stuff. Unless it's jungle stuff. If it's jungle comics, then I'm there. I don't care.
Well, I got of course that John Sable, the second volume is coming, and I signed up for that, and it's pricey, but it's actually cheaper than what he charges, once it comes out for to everyone. Of course it might be cheaper through DCBS, but I feel like that's a decent value, so.
Well, the Faust one I thought was a good value too. Plus, they threw in like five Black Mass comics with it, like brand new ones.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty good too.
Yeah, so it was a yeah, that was a good Kickstarter. I was real happy with that one. A lot of good stuff.
Mike, how often do you go to Denver?
Not often enough, or I'd go
Okay.
visit my brother a lot more because he's in Boulder, but I don't like to drive too much, but
Yeah, I got you. It was gonna say, I know when I lived in Denver, I had the advantage, like my comic shop, anything they had on the website, because they're another place where I think their shipping is way too expensive.
mile
I
high.
would they would hold in store for you, so you could like put an order together and just go pick it up. So
Oh
that was
yeah.
one cool thing about them.
Yeah, there's two shops I like. Well, there's three shops. Mike, the warehouse is pretty awesome to visit. Like the wall books are gonna be expensive, but there's a lot of obscure stuff in there if you're looking for stuff at Mile High Warehouse. It's that's I need to go down there. I might go down there this coming weekend just 'cause Barb's gone and I can go up there, maybe visit my brother if he's there, and then come back.
There you go.
Yeah.
And if
But
you're willing to dig in it, they have a bunch of good stuff in their dollar boxes, or at least they used to.
Yeah.
'Cause I
It's
asked them
been
one
a
time, I was,
while since I've been there.
we went maybe 5 or 6 years ago, I think. Maybe longer than that,
I
actually.
probably have been there 5 or 6 years ago too.
Yeah.
It's been that long. But yeah, I still got quite a few back issues coming in, so and then I get some off eBay just because I want to fill some holes and I never know that random stuff will ever fill them, you know. And they never have them on my comic shop, so that's why one of the books I covered today, I just wanted a full run or try close to it, and they never had it.
Yeah, it's always worth checking though, because I decided I was gonna start working on the Shogun Warriors next as the series to finish, because I
Oh
was gonna
yeah.
order the Micronauts, But I was like, I'm one issue from having the complete set, so I just ordered the single issue. And even though I don't like spending, you know, $15 on a comic if I can avoid it, especially like if it's the only reason it's $15 is because Captain Universe, whoopty frickin' do, who cares? But I was one away. I'm like, eh, it felt really double dippy to get the omnibus, even though I want to support Marvel
doing that stuff. Yeah,
yeah. But
that's right. I ordered it for you, Joe. I mean, not for you, Joe, but I ordered it.
He ordered it for you, and it's coming as a Christmas gift. So,
sorry for ruining
the surprise.
I did buy the facsimiles, even though I had the real one just for that same reason. I'm like, eh, you know, $3 or $4 I can support them having Micronoff stuff. But I'm like, eh, I just bought
for some reason. I finished Shogun Warriors like a long time ago, but I just barely finished Godzilla, the Marvel run. Like,
yeah,
barely finished it. And I have a lot of dupes because I just decided to go in on a full run because I was doing the onesie twosie things was taking too long, and the Godzillas are not your 15-20 bucks each,
yeah,
as well. So
I have very few of the Micronauts, so I thought it was worth getting the Omni. Rom, I definitely have much more of, but I wanted the Omni.
They got I'm Rom Volume 2 coming out.
Yeah, I saw that.
I'll be ordering it. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. They're making it hard on me. Last month was rough. There was a few things that
What'd you get big?
The last order, it wasn't one of the Omnis that we're talking about. Wasn't that last month?
Eternal Warrior, did you get that?
No, I did not. I put it
last
on,
month was on, Micronauts.
Like, that's what it was. And then I put that on a wish list, Mike, because I had to not get something, and that's what it was.
I actually think it would be easier to get a Micronauts omnibus after deciding that than it would be to get an Eternal Warrior.
I mean, but I already own every issue of the Eternal Warrior, so it's like I guess I don't feel like I need it as much.
Yeah.
I don't trust that Valiant stuff till I see it these days anyway, because the trades I had ordered have all been canceled.
But they'll be coming out again now with the
Alien
with Alien. Yeah, they're. I have a feeling that they're going to be on.
Because I ordered the Ninjak one and it got canceled.
Yeah.
The Ninjak trade?
Yeah, the trade of the original. Yeah.
Yeah, they got that solicited, I think, in the next one.
Okay.
Yeah, I think they're going to get back on track, you know, for having a different publisher. But, I mean, the other, I guess there wasn't a ton, but that one just being a $67 one. And they got the Milestone Compendium Volume 3, so.
I need to go back and get the second one.
That's what I did. So I got the same things you did, Rob, except I got the Valiant.
Okay.
But I'm all in on
the eerie
Valiant.
And the eerie and creepy archives. But, I mean, those aren't terribly expensive through DCPS. They're like $16 or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was way too expensive. Like, but I did. I was happy to look at the – because the new previews is out. The new DC one is out. I had to cheat and look at the digital copy for the Marvel one, but they're already for the next month, you know?
Yeah, I was looking at both.
And
I
didn't see, I mean, there was one of those Golden Age, Silver Age books that I have to get.
Yeah, but Superman or something, was it?
Yeah,
Silver
Age, maybe? Oh, yeah, and that one's a good one because I have that comic in other collections. It's the first appearance of Brainiac.
It's
so freaking good. That's one of the best comics I've ever read in terms of Superman. I just love that comic book. It's so ridiculous. But Clark Kent and Lois get launched up into space in a rocket. They don't even have any astronaut training or anything. They just decide to launch some reporters in there.
Off you go.
It's so great, yeah. There's so many things in that I just love. And I read it just recently. Like, I didn't know it was that good. I don't know if I would have got the same experience reading it in the past that I did now, but it was tons of fun.
That's hilarious. Are you guys gonna try the new Ultimate Spider-Man by Hickman?
I might just, I don't know.
I skipped it.
I am so, God, I'm really getting really picky on Marvel. I'm trying to do this new
I am
rule.
too,
I am
because
trying to do
I
the,
can read it digitally, but I'm thinking I might actually buy that one just to try it.
if anything, it will be Ultimate Spider-Man and Ultimate Black Panther, because it's Black Panther is one of my favorites,
Yeah.
but I haven't decided. I might just do away with the whole Ultimate verse. The Star Wars stuff is costing me an arm and a leg already at
Oh my
$5 a
God,
pop, you know?
I
That's
did. I
ridiculous.
built my Star Wars first just to see what the price of it if I was all in, and it was like almost $60. I'm like, okay, a couple of you guys have got to go.
We actually got back in at the wrong time. Like
We
we
did.
I think we stopped when the prices were $3.99, and then we decided to come on when they were still $3.99, and then the next month they turned to
Was
$4.99, and it's
4.99.
like, well, okay, that would have made a that would have changed my decision a little bit,
Yeah, I'm
for
still getting
sure.
out. I'm just reading all the Star Wars digitally now.
But
That's
in
fine for me.
general, I'm gonna I haven't placed my order still for this current previews,
Well, you
but
better get going.
me and Bill talked about it already, and I've been thinking, and I think in terms of new number ones, with the exception of DC, I am gonna do like the rule of 10, and I'm only gonna add 10 new number ones, and regardless of what it is,
Well,
so
you
like
know, it's
a.
funny that you say that, Mike, because I did place my order, and even though it was more than I wanted because of the omnibuses and stuff,
Yeah.
I mean and obviously I don't get what you get, right? But then in terms of new number ones, I'm looking, it looks like I got like four new number ones for
Yeah.
this past order.
So
And one is like Ninjak Super Killers, which is only two issues.
I haven't done it yet. I'll see what my discipline is, but I think when me and Bill talked, I was like at 25 number ones that
Oh, wow.
I wanted, and now I only want Moon Knight in terms of Marvel, the Vengeance of the Moon Knight or whatever the new one is. And then other than that, I think I'm gonna go digital. Like I'm just gonna read them digitally because it's gonna it's just too much. Or like there's a new Avengers series coming out, Avengers something, but it's Chip Zdarsky and I like him a lot. Like I love his Batman and I love his Daredevil and it's like I'll read his freaking Avengers. So like in that case I would get it. But I am being a lot more picky, especially in terms of DC gets a pass just because I'm just like a compulsion like with them.
DC is where I struggle too, Mike. It's like
And
there's so
Valiant
many
gets a pass
series I could
too
just
because I've just gone too far. Like with Valiant, I own everything. Like every collected edition that's ever been put out, every trade paperback that's ever been put out, every collection of three issues that's ever been put out. So I gotta keep the roll going with that company. But other than that, I'm just they're outpricing the industry, I think. And I make good money, and I don't have kids that I have to save for their colleges or so. And I think it's too much. So like I don't know, $6 a comic book and $5 a comic books,
it's
it
just
is
too much.
outrageous.
That's too much money.
Yeah.
In terms of value, it's just too much money.
Yeah. I
It,
looked
it,
at
it, regardless of how well to do you are, that's just too much. Once you get to be $5 or $6 for a brand new comic, Mike, this is where you were saying just a little while ago. You might as well save, a bunch of money on, from four or five or six brand new comics and buy some back issues instead. Buy a $30 back issue instead of a five or six, $5 comics.
It's one of those things where I think in my mind, like just powers of five, right? You know, like 5, 10, 15, 20. Once we hit that $5 mark, it just seems like a whole lot of fucking money. Like
Yeah.
I don't I in my mind it yeah, $3, $4 is a lot. But once they hit the five, it's like, oh my God. And it's not that I can't I can. I would just rather get back issues or put it in my pocket, just not spend it. So,
Yeah.
and
It's tough.
they are doing it to themselves because their apps are cheap.
Yeah.
So it's like I could read everything, and the quantity of material on an app, those apps are incredible. The Marvel has everything. The
Yes, it does.
DC's getting there. It has a lot. And I you could just get lost in reading the digital apps.
Well, I
So
mean, and they're constantly have the sales for a year subscription and stuff. It's getting to the point between the sales for, if you come across a sale for an annual subscription plus the increase in costs for the physical, you could literally just read one comic book a month on the app and actually save money.
oh
Versus,
yeah.
and if you
There's some
read three or four or five or 20, that I mean, it's obvious how much cheaper it is now.
Yeah.
So I
And
looked real quick to see how many new ones I had. I only have two, and I don't even count one of them. I have Return to the Planet of the Apes number one and New Teen Titans number one facsimile. So I don't think that Titans one should count.
no, that's a one shot.
Yeah.
Is that already for the previous month, or is this
That's no, that's this brand new one.
that's a
That's the
brand
one that's
new
up right
one?
now, yeah.
See, I haven't even looked at that yet. I gotta place my order today. I
No.
gotta organize a short box of comics and place my order for sure.
The
I would.
in the brand new the ones that haven't, that aren't available to order yet, but we just got the Marvel ones. The other thing that I would love to buy in a perfect world, but I'm just not going to, is volume one of the Mark Gruenwald Cap omnibus.
Oh, nice.
I have them all. So, and Mike, I'm sure I can read them all on the app
No,
too,
but
so that's the
that
reason
to
why I'm not
me
going to do it.
that almost is worth it because that's one that tempts me, like
It
because
tempts me bad because that was
well
my Captain
Grenwald is
America.
my Captain America.
Yep.
Like that during the Grenwald era, that's when I really was like, I gotta buy this
Well,
monthly.
and he
Like the
wrote it for
like
so long.
yeah,
Yeah.
and it was like a soap opera, and it was like I gotta find out what happens next issue. I gotta find out what happens next issue. So like I don't know. I really thought Grenwald was he was a great writer, whether he was doing Quasar or
He was
Captain
amazing.
America
Even
or
his New
Squadron
Universe stuff was
Supreme
awesome.
or yeah, anything he did, he just like had a way to addict you. No matter what he was writing, it was a way to like draw you in and then you wanted to come back to see what was going to happen.
Yeah.
His
So
bad
we'll see
issues are
how my
good.
order goes, but if I can afford it, I'll get it. But I'm pretty sure I'm not going to be
I
picking
think
it up
I'm
just for
doing what
cost.
you did. You know, sometimes we get awards at work and it's an Amazon gift card and I could just go.
Yep.
Like there's a couple things I turned down now. I turned down the PS Art books just because they're so expensive, but I want every time I look through that, I'm like, God, I want that
Yep.
Bullet
Yep.
Man or this one. And I was like, I want that
Yes,
so bad.
Bulletman.
I want it, but I'm like, it never makes the cut because I add up the cost and it just doesn't work out.
I actually put a little note, a category on my notes app that is just like all the anything that I pass by, in my DCBS order, that I would, I can put as either a maybe, a gift for Christmas or my birthday or something like that, or like you said, if I get a gift card down the road or whatever, then I can pick up something that way. And if
Yeah.
not through Amazon, then even like I'm going to start referring people to the In Stock Trade app, or not
Yeah.
app, a website during like holidays and stuff for like a wish
Yeah.
list on there too. So
Yeah, that's I didn't know they had that capability 'cause
I'm going
that's
to double check either
they
that or
do
I'm just going to start
'cause I
like
used
this.
to send it to Kristen. Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah. That's. I'm like, you know, I don't want to say I'm never going to get some of this stuff, but I
Yeah.
just can't afford to, you
And
know,
that's
put
the
it up
way I'm going
on.
to do with the Epic collections too. Like, everybody always asks me, you know, what do you get me? And I don't know. You know, I
Right.
usually get what I want when I want it. So it's like
Same.
somebody asks a gift, I'm like, that's why me and Barb don't usually buy each other gifts unless there's something special that shows up, because we just get it when we want
Yeah.
it. You know,
Right. Right. Right.
nothing stops us. That's even how we get cars. We need a car. I'll just go get a car. And I'm
Go
not...
get a car.
But it's, yeah, I don't know. The world's changing. I don't know. The comic shop, I even think that people are going to start cutting their pulls, like,
Well,
because of the price.
do we want to talk about my that amazing comic shop here?
Oh,
Did
yeah,
you
you.
know that they're closing? They said their last day is going to be Halloween. They're closed already.
What?
They sold through everything. They got down to graphic novels for 50 cents. She just wanted to get rid of stuff. She's like, I'm not storing this stuff, and she's
Yes.
getting out of the business. So she's like, there's no point to me hanging on to this.
Right.
So I mean, it was $20 for anything. Went down to 10. Went down to 5. Went down to 50 cents.
Do you know what happened? Was it the market or was it
It was a
health
combination of a
reasons?
lot of different factors. So this is Pulp 716 we're talking about. Her last shipment is still coming for the 25th. So the store is closed, but on I think Wednesday and Thursday, and then Saturday the 28th, she'll be open for subscribers only to come and pick up the last of their orders. But Mike, it was a lot of different things. It was some health issues that she had to deal with last year that are just
Bill?
continuing on.
No, but is it because of finance or
But
is it
yes, but
because.
then the other thing is that she's like it just because you know they were doing coffee and bubble teas as well,
Yeah.
so they had a cafe and they're like they said on both sides product like you know supplies. And everything else were just skyrocketing in cost.
Yeah, shipping was
On
going
both
up,
sides,
yeah.
yep, shipping was going up. And then, of course, as you know, a private business and you're doing this all yourself, having three different distributors, it just
Killed him,
ended up
yeah.
costing her a lot more money because she couldn't get one big discount from one distributor. She got to go through three now, and it was just costing way too. And I noticed about a year ago. I told Stacy when I would go to my old like the comic shop that's still open, Queen City. When I would go there for like my pull, and if they were out of something or they didn't have a cover that I wanted, I knew I could always go to Pulp because there was always plenty extra. About a year ago,
Yeah.
they started bring bare bones. Like if you didn't subscribe to it, chances are it was going to be out by the time you got there. If you showed up on Thursday, probably would be sold out because they weren't getting a lot of extra copies. I'm like, this is weird. This is different. This is not a sign of a really healthy store that they're not even having like one or two extra copies on the shelf. They're just sold out of everything, because it tells me that they can't afford to have extra copies sitting there.
Yeah.
And sure enough, you're later, they're close. So it was a lot of different
Well,
factors.
let me ask you this, and you might not even have insight to this.
What? Yeah.
Did they get other jobs? I mean,
Yes. Well, it was a
if
husband and
they
wife. The husband had been offered a really, I guess, some sort of promotion in whatever field he's in. So he's going to be good to go.
Yeah.
The wife is, she, I think she may have. She had an interview a couple weeks ago. She may have gotten a job at this point, but I mean, she didn't have anything ready and lined
I
up
mean
when they made the
that's
decision.
good because when you say there's a medical issue, it's not
Yeah, no,
good to
he would
be
be able to, but
unemployed and have a medical issue. Do you see what I'm saying? That's like the
absolutely.
worst. That's how to fall more into debt.
Right. No. So, yeah. So she's okay. They'll be okay. He got what sounds like a really good promotion, and I think that they'll be fine.
Did you
But yeah.
take advantage of any of their sales? I mean, just picking
Oh,
up stuff.
so we went. I went when it was $20, and I ended up getting Terry Moore's Echo.
Yeah.
I never read that. So that was $40. I got it for $20 instead. Whether or not it would have been there, I don't know. We had read Paper Girl. No, we had watched Paper Girls recently. Amazing. I thought it was – I'm so angry it got canceled. I thought it was incredible. I had bought the first 13 issues and dropped off. I wasn't loving this the comic book. But now after
watching the show,
they had those, and I think we got those for – they had the Omnis for Volume 2 and 3. And I think we got those for $10 each. So that was a really good deal. They didn't have volume one, but I do have each volume is 10, the hardcovers is 10 issues. So I have those first 10 issues anyhow. So we can, Stacey can read all 30 issues for the first time, and I can revisit the first 10.
You could finish the rest of it.
The whole thing. Yeah. Went back a couple more times, like when there were $5 and stuff like that. And there was practically nothing. I think I ended up finding a trade. One of those, it was a trade with the JSA and JLA team up.
Yeah.
That was a good one. I got that for $5. I didn't go back for the 50. They had so little left.
Well, I bet they liquidated another shop too. Like another shop was like, you're liquidating and I can get this for 50% or lower.
I'm sure you're right.
And they're just like, oh, I'll take it all. Like, I'll just take it in bulk.
Right. Yeah. I mean, why not? Right. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, so it was really,
I mean,
sad.
It's a shame because they were, I think they were a well-known shop and they had won awards and stuff.
They
so.
Were like very important in the community. Very important for, they weren't the typical dingy comic shop. They attracted a lot of women because they had a lot of women working there.
Yeah.
I think they felt a lot more comfortable going to that shop than they do like one of those old fashioned comic shops where it's all like 50, 60 year old men. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it was a shame in that they definitely were well known. They had been nominated several times.
For Eisner's.
You know, yeah. For Eisner's. And I know they were followed by a ton of comic book creators. So really sad, but you know, I mean, they got to do what's best for them. I talked to the owner of Queen City. He's been around since the 80, you know, 1980, something like that. He's been running it himself. His dad owned it prior and started with coins in like 1969 and moved to comics shortly after. So this was a specialty comic shop that existed probably before almost any other, right? He said he's never had to work this hard as he's working right now. He's 67. He wants to retire. He thought he was going to retire sometime soon. He's like, I'm probably 10 years from retirement now.
So just a quick question, and then we'll let Joe cover his first book.
Yeah, but
what is your plan for the 2 months or 3 months that this could affect your books?
That's a great question. They were absolutely incredible, Mike. Pulp has a main Facebook page and they had a subscriber Facebook page.
Yeah.
On the subscriber Facebook page, they went ahead before they announced it anywhere else that they were closing. It was a complete shock. And this was going to be the last day. Last shipments were coming October 25th. At the time that they made the announcement, I was able to go into DCBS.
Yeah. And Adam.
And add everything that I would not have gotten from Pulp anymore.
Oh,
like
great.
It lined up 100% even. Like I was, so if I'm getting Spawn, like 346 for Pulp, what was available in DCBS was 347. And I'm missing nothing because of how they treated everyone.
Mm-hmm.
They actually, like later that week, or maybe it was the next week, they actually put out one of the managers put out a spreadsheet to list every last issue they were going to receive and what date they were receiving it.
Nice.
Like,
wow.
No matter what the issue was. So you could go in, so you could check, okay, these are the comics I get from Pulp. Okay, well, this is going to be the last issue for that one. And I was able to pick and match and check with both what Stacy gets,
what I get, and we were able to make the switch to DCBS without missing an issue. I really thought I'd have at least 1 month, and no more than 1 month, but not even having that as an issue with like missing a month of comics.
Ah, that's good. Usually with Marvel and DC, that would be an issue, but I was wondering if you had any indies you had to worry about. Hello? Oh,
hey, Mike, what happened? Did you lose power?
I lost internet. I didn't lose power.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow.
We talked about all the things that we would never talk about in public real quick while we weren't being recorded.
So. It actually worked out okay, Mike, but you couldn't have been recording us, right?
No, because I lost everything. I was talking and then I wasn't. Like I was like, nobody's responding. What's happening? And then I looked over at my Verizon 5G and it was flashing. So I'm like, oh, I lost internet.
Well, I just hit record on Skype as a backup too just now, so we'll have that backing up hopefully in case you pop off again.
Yeah, I have the recording of the first part, and then the second part, it started again as soon as
I got back on. Can you splice it? Are you able to splice?
Yeah.
He's a fancy editor.
It's called editing. I don't like to do it, but I can do it. I'm the laziest
podcaster. So what do you think?
Should
we get to Joe?
Yes, yeah. Please.
Okay. I grabbed a couple. One of them's kind of boring and obvious, so I must get that one first.
Yeah, let's hear the boring one.
You want to hear the boring, obvious one? Okay. Well, I was going through my new books, and apparently I've bought this issue like 6 times now.
What?
But they did another reprint edition of a very famous book. It just came out in newsprint for the first time ever. Do you know what it's going to be?
Oh, you know what? I remember seeing something about something coming out in newsprint, but no, I don't remember.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you how it opens. So there's a couple of cops hidden behind a cop car, and there's a guy firing at them. Now do you know what it is?
No.
Okay.
Mike, do you?
No. That's all pretty right. Generic, a cop.
I'm going to read you a little dialogue. This is not good. Boom, boom. I don't think he's from around here. I think that's a safe bet. When they opened that prison in Grant County, I didn't think we'd be getting their runoff. I ain't going back. I'll die first. Damn it. Our backup is probably more than 10 miles away. We're sitting ducks behind this car. Cover me. I'm going to try and make it over to that ditch so we can surround him. Boom. Ding. Boom. Oh, I say the next line. You're going to definitely know if you don't already.
I don't know it.
I don't know.
Rick!
What?
Oh, Walking Dead?
Walking Dead, number one. The news.
Wow. How do you like that? No, I don't remember that coming out in newsprint. I thought it was something else.
Yeah, no, it's fancy and it's flat and it's pretty fun to hold. So our boy wakes up in a hospital bed and I get Resident Evil flashbacks. Which came first? Resident Evil.
Resident Evil, yeah, I think
so. They definitely did it first. So anyway, Rick is looking around. There's nobody around. He sees his badge. He grabs that, gets some clothes on. He goes to an elevator, and a dead body falls out. But is it dead? It looks dead. This one's
bum,
not.
Bum, bum.
So I don't think he knows it's zombies yet. So he keeps walking down this hall. He gets to a barred door. And when you get to a barred door, the most logical thing to do is to unbar the door, right?
You know what? They say curiosity killed the cat.
Yeah, so what the hell? He
Somebody
opens
doesn't
it up,
want you in there.
And it's the cafeteria, and it's full of people. And one of them goes, and this is a really gross cafeteria. I would not eat in there. There's like maggots falling out of this guy's neck. He jumps him, and they fall down the snares, and his head all but, oh, I take it back. His head did pop off. Because they landed on top of each other, and yeah, old maggot head's head came off. So he's like,
which is surprising when you think about it, because you would think he'd be very, very fresh at this point,
right? Because it never tells you, and that's one thing on a reread. Because I always like when you reread something that you think you know really, really well.
Uh-huh.
Is it exactly what you remember? And yeah, it never actually says how long it's been.
No, so but I mean. It couldn't have been a huge amount of time.
Right. Yeah. I mean, unless he pulls a Rick Van Winkle, but so then he takes his belt and he ties off the doors. He gets to a car and it, of course, is either dead or no gas or something. So he walks from the hospital. He sees another car with a dead body hanging out of it. And then we get the famous, I believe what they call in the Walking Dead TV show, the bicycle girl.
Yeah.
And he sees her and he just gets really emotional seeing her. But not so emotional, he doesn't steal her bike.
What is she going to do with it?
Exactly. So he takes her bike, but he doesn't get very far. He goes, oh, God. And then he, collapses. Then he jumps back on the bike. So he goes back to his house. It's, all run down, and the windows are busted out. His garage is falling apart. And he's like, son of a bitch. And this is for a Kirkman book, especially setup wise. This is very dialogue light because I always think of Walking Dead as being super dense.
Yeah, that first issue.
This first issue is mostly 9-panel grids and.
Well, it's one guy too. So
yeah. So he goes there and then bang, he gets hit in the back of the head with a shovel, and a little kid's like, "Dad, I got one." He's like, Jesus shit. I've never heard that one before. Oh, son, what did you do? He was going to try and eat me, Dad. No, this kid's alive. So they take him inside the house, and as a penance for bashing his head in and living in his house, they feed him dinner. So he kind of gets the breakdown from the fella about everything that's going down. And he says, what's going on? He's like, well, the media shut down, so we don't know anything. Last thing I heard, everybody's going to Atlanta. He said, well, Atlanta's not that far from here. I bet that's where Carl and what's the wife's name?
Lori.
Lori, that's right. That's probably where they went because that's where my in-laws are. So they
saw the in-laws.
No, I imagine they were gone, right?
Yeah.
Because they never bothered with the flashback or anything that I can remember. Mm-hmm. I don't think I missed very many issues. There towards the very end, when they were in the place with the stormtrooper uniforms.
Yeah.
I fell off a little bit. And then I heard that it was going to be winding up some stuff. So I jumped back on, and little did I know winding up some stuff meant the series. Mm-hmm. So I missed a handful. But yeah, other than that, I don't think I missed too many. I've read everything pretty much in trade at least. But,
did you buy number one when number one came out?
God, no. My first was an
Mike,
Image
did you?
First.
No.
Okay. I only ask because, I remember, and it's weird that, I still have these, these very clear memories of not that long ago.
Yeah.
Of, being at the comic shop, and I'm like, what is this? This Walking Dead. It was, issue six. Whatever it was, 6, 7, whatever, then would be going into a second trade, okay?
Right.
And I had never seen it at the store, the first whatever number
it's
of issues.
Because there's only 3,000 copies out there.
I guess that's the reason why, and it kept selling more and more, right? So yeah. I bought the trade. I bought whatever, I guess it was issue 7, and I never looked back. I bought every single issue after that. I remember when the first episode came out on TV, and me and Stacey are watching this. I'm like, oh my God, this is incredible. I ran upstairs, grabbed my trade of the first few issues, and showed her practically scene by scene of the first episode. They basically shot it scene for scene, and it was absolutely incredible.
Yeah, the only real difference so far that I can remember, but because it's been a while since I've watched it, is you don't really have much of a conversation in the issue between him and the cop he's with, like you do with him and Shane.
Right.
Because I think it opens, they're eating lunch or something.
I think so too.
On a traffic thing. Mm-hmm. And then they have the guy run into him. So that is about the only difference. But yeah, other than that, the beats are super similar.
Oh, incredible. I'm like, I can't believe they're making this. I can't believe it's this good. And then, I feel personally it overextended its. It's welcome towards the end there. Not the comic book, but the TV show.
I
didn't
was
finish out. Either one. I read Walking Dead like you did in trade, not trades, but those hardcover deluxes.
Sure.
And I read up 1 through 5, and I had the rest of them, but never finished it. And
I
then
definitely
I watched,
recommend the comic.
I watched the series, I think, up until the final season. I think. I missed the. I missed the part where. I guess they're telling Michonne's story again.
Mm-hmm.
Like from that point on, I like lost the interest because I was watching. I think there were 3 or 4 Walking Dead shows at the same time. There was Worlds Apart. There was Fear of the Walking Dead and Walking Dead. Mm-hmm. And I think I got to the last season of Fear of the Walking Dead and then The Walking Dead. And also I didn't watch the second season of Worlds Apart. So that's where I kind of like lost it. And
it's like everything else. You put too much of it out, you kind of
it was too much, and there was too much fighting for the time, and I was zombied out.
Yeah.
I was at that point. I was like, I'm kind of done with zombies for a while. I probably go back and finish it at some point. But it's
definitely finish
a good
the comic
series.
First, and then read your and then watch the rest of the shows if you feel like it.
Yeah.
As a dad, they really hurt me when they got rid of Carl.
Yeah.
And then when Rick was gone, I was like, I'm out. I was there for that dad son relationship a good chunk of why I cared. And when that dynamic was gone, I didn't care anymore.
I wonder if they would have done anything differently. And maybe they did know, but the way that I remember it is they killed Carl off, and then very shortly after that, the actors that play Rick and Michonne both announced that they were going to kind of step away.
Yeah.
If that really was the order I wonder if they would have second guessed
killing Carl.
Because there was no center to that show anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They made it Carol and Daryl just because they were the only ones left, but
right.
they weren't ones that like ever like, really like I wasn't watching the show for either one of them.
Right. Yeah, I don't want a Superman show with just Jimmy, you know.
No.
And the whole Superman show becomes Cat Grant and Jimmy Olsen, I'm out.
Right. I think I would love it if it was Superman's pal Jimmy Olsen. I mean, if it was written like that comic, I would love it.
The Adventures of Morgan Edge. How about that one?
Well, there you go.
I actually find Superman supporting cast is what makes Superman great for me.
I agree, but I gotta at least have Lois and Clark in there somewhere. Mm-hmm. You know, I love the supporting cast, but I do want Lois and Clark. So,
yeah.
All right. Anyway, where were we? They were at the cop station, and he goes, "Oh, you're a cop?" And then was like, "Well, why else would you go to the police station?" And I thought that was kind of weird, some of his reactions here. And then he pulls out the gun. He's like, "What are you doing with that?" Well, he's obviously got a gun for protection. And then he goes into the arsenal, and they've got just guns everywhere, which trips me out. You would have thought like some of this stuff would have been gotten into, but I guess, like you said, it's pretty early on. And this is before like part of the world building was, you know, everything has been pilfered to death. So
right.
He loads up, he's getting in the car, and it's real funny. Because he's like, "Here's the keys. You take this car. Just make sure that you don't pose as a police officer, because that's illegal. Don't put a whole lot of miles on it, and try not to bang it up too much." I think
all the concerns he had back then.
Yeah, he doesn't know what's going to happen, what's going on the road. He gives the guy this whole spiel about, you know, make sure my cop car comes back okay. And then, just like in the show, they look up, and there's a fella in overalls, and he's obviously living dead at this point, and he's about to shoot him. And the guy, I can't remember the guy's name.
Morgan?
Morgan, that's right. So I don't remember if they said it in the book or not. And that's why I haven't said it, because I'm worried I'm conflating the show with the book I'm reading. But anyway, so he says to him, "Don't shoot him. You might need the bullet later." And they drive out. He carefully locks back the gate. He drives down out of the city back to where he sees Bicycle Girl. And the very last thing in the issue, as he shoots Bicycle Girl, sheds a tear, gets in the car, and heads out. And that's where it ends. So
interesting.
Yeah, that's issue one. And like I say, it's been years since I've read the first issue, even though, like I say, every time they reprint it, I pretty much buy a copy. I buy a copy, but I don't read it, you know, because I feel like I know it. And I basically did, but I just didn't realize that, yeah, the show and the book are just about beat for beat the exact same thing. So,
you know what's interesting, and somebody else pointed this out, it's not 100%. There are some stories that aren't like this, like Return of the Living Dead and Zombieland. But in almost all zombie stories, there's never been such thing as a zombie, in like the idea of a zombie in the world.
Sure.
Like, they don't know what they are. But that's not true of werewolf movies, vampire movies. Like everyone, oh, that's a vampire.
Right.
But like everyone is shocked and doesn't know how zombies act in the zombie genre, with a few exceptions.
That's two things. So first off, if I'm not mistaken, that what was kind of refreshing, I want to say it was in Midnight Mass, they didn't know what vampires were, and I thought that was cool.
Yes. Yep.
And I thought that was a neat beat, because everywhere else they always know what vampires are.
That is a very good point.
Yeah, and then the other part of your comment, I would say, is I think the one exception is voodoo zombies, because when it's a voodoo zombie, I feel like sometimes they do, like somebody will know. There'll be like one person will know.
A voodoo priest will know.
The
voodoo people will know.
Right. That's a good point. But, you know, you just reminded me.
But usually in most of those movies that you mentioned, there's a breakout. Like, nobody knows about it.
Right.
Like Walking Dead, it just happened.
Right.
All of the, like, if you go back to Night of the Living Dead, it hadn't happened before. Like, there was no zombies before that.
Not yeah, theirs like was like radioactive meteorite.
Zombieland,
right?
Was sort of similar. Like it was all the Night of the the Return of the Living Dead. It just happened that night. Like the gas was released and hell broke loose.
But they knew about the movie.
And then it started raining.
And they knew like what a zombie was in Return of the Living Dead.
Yeah, but they were they didn't like that whole zombie thing that he changed was because he didn't like the way Romero was doing it. Like he was involved. They were involved.
Yeah, he was the other guy. Yeah.
And he was the other guy. And it's like, well, I wanted to do this. Mm-hmm. So he was changing it.
Yeah. Well, I don't think they ever actually even call them zombies in Walking Dead that I remember. It's always walkers or something else.
Yeah. Or each community had their own name.
Right.
But you remind me when you said Midnight Mass. Has everyone watched The Fall of the House of Usher?
We just finished it yesterday. Yep.
I have not. I'm still on Daredevil season 3.
I'm on
Daredevil. Daredevil season 3, and the morning show just finished season 1.
Listen to me. The Daredevil will still be there on November 1st.
It will be. Yep.
Yes. So House of Usher will still be there on November 1st. Isn't it a Netflix exclusive? It'll be there.
It is.
You like it, Joe?
We did. Now, we have not seen all of Bly Manor because it hit us very meh. But
that's my least favorite one.
Yeah. And we didn't watch Midnight Club yet, because did he do that one?
Yes, he did. It was supposed to be 2 seasons, and they canceled it on him. But you can, after watching the full season of Midnight Club, you can go online, because he promised and delivered that if Netflix canceled it, he would put in a blog exactly what the second season and everything was going to happen, and, which he did. So you can watch all the season 1 and then read what would have happened in season 2.
Okay, take that one out of the thing. Right now, my ratings is Hill House 1, Usher 2, Midnight Mass 3. And Midnight Mass being number 3 is a very solid 3. That's not a bad thing. And then, like I say, Blind Manor, we couldn't even
of what you've seen. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I've seen them all.
All right.
Joe, me and you are simpatico.
Okay.
Number one, Hill House. Number two, House of Usher. Number three, Midnight Mass. Number four, Midnight Club.
Okay.
And number five, Blind Manor.
Okay.
And I think Blind Manor tried to be too much like Hill House.
Yeah.
Wasn't. And I think it suffered for that, where then he started being a little bit different in the other ones.
Well, I'm gonna go next,
incredible.
Because okay. I'll do my rankings. Midnight Mass number one, the House of the Hill House, whatever that one was. That's number two, but I never finished it, and then I haven't watched the rest. So
there you go. Yeah. Funny thing, Rob, we started up again because we were like, oh, where did we even leave with Blind Manor? The kids came on and started talking, and Kristen saw what the lead was wearing, and she goes, oh, those clothes, she looks so frumpy. And I was like, these kids are annoying, and we turned it off. We didn't even get 30 more seconds into it because those kids are freaking horrible.
I did dislike the series. It's still better than a lot of the other ones, but for me anyhow, but... It's definitely my least favorite.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll come back to it after we watch Midnight Club and see if we can get 30 more seconds in.
Yeah, see what we can do. That Hill House, though, absolutely. Anyone that hasn't seen it, I'm like, first of all, like, look at these IMDb ratings. One, like, the entire series is like 8.6, which is crazy high. But if you look at episode 5, I've never seen anything higher. Like, as 14,000 people have reviewed it.
Yeah.
Episode 5, the average rating score is 9.5.
That's wild.
That's insane.
Yeah, yeah. The only thing I would think maybe might be as good, did you see the show Castle Rock?
Some of it, but I think we lost Hulu. I mean, we have it now and I never went back. But we had lost Hulu at the time, so I don't think we watched the whole thing. What I've seen, though, doesn't match Hill House.
No, it doesn't. Except there's one episode where you're seeing everything from Sissy Spacek's point of view.
Okay.
So you're seeing everything with Alzheimer's. It is one of the best hours of television I've seen in my life.
What is that on?
It's Hulu. It's called Castle Rock. It's a very confusing.
Oh, that's the Stephen King thing.
Yeah, it's like Stephen King anthology type.
It's kind of all over the place. But that one episode is as good as TV just about gets. It's very, very good. It really helps you get an idea what having Alzheimer's would be. It's almost like you're unstuck in time.
I've seen a couple.
I think I found the episode. Looks like it might be episode 7. It says Memories Haunt Ruth Deaver.
Yes, so good.
And it has an 8.9, which again is insanely high.
Yeah, it's a very good episode of television. So I would highly recommend that. And season 2 Castle Rock, which is the prequel to Misery, is fabulous.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we're looking for something else.
I might go to that one next after Daredevil.
Yeah. Season two is probably better than season 1 because it's basically they stand apart. They don't really go together.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well.
Have you guys seen The Morning Show? That's really
no, I don't even know what that is.
Holy
it's basically
mackerel.
Like the Today Show disguised. So what happened with Katie Couric and
is it real?
Well, it's based on.
It's
you can
based
tell.
On it. Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Interesting.
It's pretty incredible. It's on Apple TV.
Good stuff.
Mm. Oh, I don't have Apple TV.
Yeah, everything that I've watched on Apple TV has been incredible, so far. Ted Lasso is amazing.
Yeah, Ted Lasso's great.
I'm watching this next. We're in season 2 finally.
Nice.
Season 1 ended like crazy on The Morning Show. Like I can't believe how it ended. It ended like what's her name just lost her shit and just said all kinds of like you didn't think it would be her.
Oh, Jennifer Aniston?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I never thought in my wildest dreams she would lose her shit. Like I already knew that what's her name was she'll do whatever she feels like, right? But I just can't believe the suicide thing. It was terrible.
Yeah. It's a good show.
Yeah, it's a crazy thing.
Wait, do you mind if I go next?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm gonna.
And
You know what
then
I'm gonna
I'll even
do?
let Joe go next after. Well, actually, did you have anything else, Joe? Because you're running out of time.
I can squeeze until 11:15. Let's go.
Okay.
Go ahead and go.
This will be quick anyhow. I'm going to cover the movie first. I was going to do
All
a
right.
comic, but this is going to be quick because Mike, it's Aunt and Joe. You probably both seen it. It was on my list. I finally saw it for the very first time. The original movie
Vacation.
I saw. No,
Saw.
Saw. Saw from 2004.
It's a good movie.
Never seen it before. I avoided it on purpose because I assumed that
You assumed
because it
wrong.
spawned the genre, it spawned like the torture porn genre,
Right.
and I'm like, that's not scary to me. It's just gross. I don't need, but it's
Are
on
you
my list. I
telling
need
me you
to watch
stay
it.
away from
It's incredible.
Hostel and Saw?
What'd you say?
Did you stay away from Hostel and
Yeah, I've
Saw?
never seen. I've never seen
Oh my
Hostel. No.
God, you need to watch Hostel. It
Why?
is
Why do I need to watch that?
because it's a it is a viable horror. Like, it scares me.
Okay.
That is fucking scary.
Saw was absolutely I was blown away. I would go so far as to say that it's the movie that it reminds me of most is probably Seven.
Okay, I can see that.
And I find it, don't get me wrong, it's a horror movie, but it's much more in the thriller type
I actually
horror
find it
movie
in a. It's
than I
interesting that
expected.
you say that because I find it more in a vigilante type style.
It's definitely not like a serial, not that first one. It's not like a serial killer try. It's got a lot more nuance to that. It was so well done. A
No,
lot of
but
good actors in that.
he's a vigilante.
But you don't really
He's
get
making you
too
pay for
much
the
of it from.
sin, I think.
To
In
some extent,
one,
yes.
yes. They're paying for a prior sin.
But what's his name? Emerson, Michael Emerson's character paying for? Not the intern. What was the, he was the guy that worked in the hospital. As a matter of fact, he was nice to the killer because the killer's lying there in bed, sick, and the doctor kept referring. Carrie always kept referring to him as the patient, the patient.
Right.
And Michael Emerson's there, and he's like, his name's so and so, and he's like, oh, thank you, whatever Michael
I thought
Emerson's
there was a
character's name
link.
is.
I thought there was a link there at the end, but I didn't. Maybe I don't remember it right. Because
Not
I've
that
watched
I
all of
saw,
them.
not that I remember. So I don't know what his sin was. I don't dispute what you're saying with the other ones. But it was a fascinating movie. I would definitely watch it again. My only regret is that I have seen at least two list type shows of like best horror movies or scariest moments in horror movies that unfortunately gave away like the little twist at the end in the bathroom.
Sure.
And I think it would have just been like felt like a slap in the face if I hadn't known ahead of time what was going to happen. And you know what sucks is that like I saw a list show the first time and then I had forgotten. And
Do
then
you
I
mean a
watched the
list
second
show? Like a show
like the
that kind
best
of.
like a show that says, okay, here are the best 10.
Like the Eli
Oh,
Roth History of
yeah.
Horror
And
show. Yeah, the history of horror.
they give it away or what?
Yeah, it totally gives it away. Yeah.
And then Shudder had the like 100 best 100 scariest moments
Yeah.
in horror movies or whatever, and that was
Yep.
on there at the very and I don't I mean I guess I could say it, but I don't want to give it away for anyone else that hasn't seen it. But the first time I forgot about it, then when I watched that second series and it gave it away again,
Yeah.
I kept on hoping that I would forget,
Yeah.
and every time I would think about it again, it just ingrained more in my memory, so there was no forgetting. I knew exactly what was going to happen at the tail end when Carrie always kind of like leaves the room and it's just that other guy and the dead body in the middle.
How would you
Yeah.
like stay away from something because of something that somebody else says?
What do
That
you mean?
one,
Like, I just can't believe you stayed away from Saw and Hostel because of
I just had no interest in it.
What they judge it by. Like, what it's classified as.
There wasn't any
as.
Particular
okay.
person. It was my own opinion that, okay, this is just a cut them up. Like, let's see, you know, what you know, how much torture this person can endure. And I had no interest in watching.
No, you want to watch a torture movie, watch, what is the damn new one that's on Netflix? That has a shipping container in it.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's torture to watch how someone suffers.
I got an example, though, Rob. Like, I have a very vivid imagination, and mm-hmm. I remember people describing Seven to me,
mm-hmm.
and I visualized something that was so gross and so disturbing that yeah. I was like, oh, I'll never be able to watch this movie.
Yeah.
Like, I was ready to puke from people describing it, and then when I finally saw it, I was like, oh, it wasn't that bad. My imagination is much worse than what the average director is going to put on a screen.
That's yeah, because you read manga.
You know what's funny? This is just my own opinion, but I think that Seven is more disturbing than Saw.
I could see that. At least the first one. It's definitely gory-wise, I don't know. But like those get gorier as
they
go, too.
They don't show a lot
yeah.
of gore in the first movie of Saw.
Well,
they
people
really, don't.
Really scared me from Midsommar because they kept going how gross it was. And I finally watched it, and I'm like, I've seen stuff that's way grosser than this. You guys scared me away from this movie for like 2 years,
mm-hmm.
and it's not even that gory.
I've read Faust. I don't know how any of these movies compare to that.
I don't know. Comic, and especially if you do, or if you're serious about manga, if you're reading Junji Ito, it can be disturbing. But I don't usually get grossed out by black and white. I don't think I even thought The Walking Dead was too gross until this new colorized version, and that's made a big difference on how gross it is.
I don't know. When I was growing up in high school, I always wanted shock horror, like Faces mm-hmm. of Death or whatever, Freaks or what. Like, if I heard that it was a video I needed to rent, I rented it. So, like, nothing hinders me ever from experiencing anything. Like, I want to experience it. And if somebody, like, yeah, it might take me a while. Like, I understand why Rob is like, well, I'm just not interested. I have the same thing with Strangers in Paradise. I'm just not interested.
Yeah.
I just can't get into it. Like, I not that I know it's like phenomenal. I get that. I just very curious why, like, to me, Hostel's terrifying. Like, the idea behind it is I get why people will call it torture because it is, but if you look past what it is, it's very frightening. The fact that you could go visit in a hostel, just be enjoying yourself, be drugged, and then be put into something. It's actually loosely based on something too, but like it's very frightening. Like the fact that you could be involved, you know, hey, I'm just a kid in college and I don't have that much money. And I freaking want to go to a hostel to spend the night because it's cheap. And I have these alternate goals. And then you find out what they're doing behind the scenes. It's terrifying. It's absolutely frightening.
Mine comes from gore, having had three very specific examples I can think of in my head, having a very biological reaction in my body when I was exposed to it. There was a book I read. I remember reading a Stephen King book, Gerald's Game, when he's talking about how his skin is being peeled back. Her skin is being peeled back. I literally got hot. I was flushed. I thought I was going to throw up and faint. I remember at an author reading, the guy was talking about how he fell into some boiling water and he came out and all his skin started coming out. Once again, I had a biological reaction. I get heated. I feel faint. I get nauseous. And then there was a time at Hannibal where he's feeding his face to the dogs. Same thing. And Mike, I don't like that feeling. So when it's something really gory and somebody tells me how gory it's going to be, I do try to avoid it a lot of times.
And I don't have that with anything. Like, I don't have it with anything. Because I don't know if I'm desensitized. Because I used to seek.
I can handle a lot more than I used
to. No, but there was a time in high school, early college, where I was seeking out.
Yeah.
I was seeking out shock, like shock horror. I was into the Faust. I was into the splatter. You know, like I was into North Star. Like I wanted to know what would shock me, and maybe I'm desensitized to it. So like that doesn't. I always have the eyeball thing. Like I hate like.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
So what you're describing. Joe, the only time I've ever experienced anything like that is when a friend of mine works at the same place as me. She got her LASIK years and years ago.
Yeah.
And apparently they videotape this.
Oh, God.
Like, I don't know why, but they videotape it. We were all at a friend's house. She's like, yeah, just watch, you know. And, I mean, they literally scalpel and peel like that top part, like the part of the eyes before they do the laser and then they reattach it. I'm watching this and I'm not like, it is totally disturbing me. And I didn't even realize how much because one of the other people there, like, I think we should turn this off. Look at Rob. He's like, white as a ghost.
Yeah.
And I didn't even realize. And I'm like, yeah, this is really bothering me. They turned it off. Them watching them peel the actual like color part of your eye like that. Oh my God. It was like the worst. That's the only time I've ever felt like that. And also I knew it was real.
Yeah.
Like it was really happening.
Yeah. So, and like I say, I'm better now than I have been. Like I can get like, ooh, I got to get geeked up to watch Hereditary, but I watch it and I'm fine. There might be sometimes in a C-section in Game of Thrones or the Dragon Show, I might like cover my eyes for a second because that kind of stuff is just I don't enjoy. I might be like, okay, I'm not going to watch this. But I love scares. I just don't like always like gore.
And for me, it doesn't like affect me at all. But I have an eyeball thing, like Rob.
Yeah.
Like there's scenes where you could have like a needle going to. It's not that I can't take it. I just kind of look away. Like I just, even if
so
I need to look away for that split second, like I don't care unless it's ridiculous. Like a Friday the 13th 3D thing where they're shooting something. I don't care. Like that doesn't bother me, but if they're filming like the eye and a lot of Japanese horror will do stuff with eyes.
It's
terrible. It's like more realistic with the eye. I just look away, but then I can continue watching. So I like gore doesn't. I don't ever get like stomach. Sometimes if there's like a lot of vomiting, then I like ooh I want to vomit maybe a little bit.
You know what the funny thing is, Mike, that like none of that watching on TV, none of that bothers me. But I also don't get any type of I'm not getting the reaction that I want to get from a horror movie. Like
you're looking like, past it. Like
it's not a scared feeling. The shivers up my spine, and that's not going to. That doesn't give me shivers.
I agree with you. The torture does not give me shivers. What gives me shivers is the fact that I could spend the night at somebody's place, get drugged, and then get killed. That scares me. That fucking scares me. Not the part that where I'm getting tortured and my skin's getting peeled off, but the fact that how they lure people in, that is fucking terrifying.
And I get that. I guess I'm too like oh well that's never gonna happen. I don't have to worry.
Oh bullshit! It's based on truth.
Oh my god!
What do you mean? That's the part that you have to be scared about.
Going back to Hill House, and I don't know if you ever got that far, but that episode 5. Do you know the episode that I'm talking about, Joe?
I think I got to 4.
Yes,
yeah.
Where the lady's over
with the younger
bed.
Sister.
So
that's where I
literally get sustained, like when I get a chill up my spine, it's usually like from watching something. It's usually very quick. I get like the sustained chill, and it happens every time I watch that episode towards the end. It's like, oh my God, it's literally horrifying what happened to this woman her entire life.
Yeah.
And then for her to realize what that was as she's dying.
Yeah.
It freaks me out. I'm getting the chills right now telling you about it. It's absolutely chilling to me. Like if that, I don't know why that bothers me so much, but it's like, yeah. It gives me that chill.
I'm with Nick Wetmore. I am. He's terrified of home invasion and shit like that.
Oh, me
so like
too.
when I get into like the visitors and shit like that, I am terrified. But you tell me about a ghost, like I don't get as scared. Mm. Like because I've never been in a situation where it's affected reality. Whereas home invasion can happen. Like
it could
happen, and it terrifies me.
I think I've told y'all this. The one that always freaked me out because I thought it was just me, and then like Get Out validated me. Like I lived on a dead end street at one point.
I did too, and that scares me because I live near a ditch in the La Llorona.
But I would see somebody I didn't know out walking at the end of the street, and I would get in my head, if they deadbolt run at me right this second, do I have time to get into my house?
Yeah, I would do the same thing. Because you knew who was at your street. And that didn't terrify you, but if you saw a stranger and they're at the end of the ditch and you're like, well, what are they doing there?
Yes.
I got to be able to bolt. Like, I got to be able to, like, make it in time.
And so I watched Get Out and the scene where the guy's dead running at him.
Yeah.
I got a very, like, that scared the
anxiety.
Crap out of me.
Because
I have felt that before. When I see somebody, I'm like, can I get back in the house with a dog before this guy gets to me?
Yeah. And I've seen some weird shit before, but usually it's because I've been burning a fever of really high. So like there was a time where I saw my parents, they were telling me, come on, come. And they're at the door. And I ran to the door and hit it full blast, like blam.
Oh my God.
Yeah. But it was because I was burning a fever. Like
I mean,
there was reasons why, but I did see like, There were times where we would go up to the neighbor's attic and tell stories, and I could swear I could hear stuff like where you psych yourself out that there's something there, and I don't know if it was real, but I would get terrified. But yeah, I'm more into like the Nick Wetmore horror, the horror that can happen. Like, and to me, that Hostel falls into that. So, yeah.
All right, I'm going to try to give you like a 3 or 4 minute synopsis of this issue. I don't know
if you can do it.
But this is Superman in Space, number 28. This is a Stern Gamble and Breeding. It's got that very cool.
What number?
Number 28.
Okay.
So it's just Superman 28. It's the one with the Nick
Volume
Fury.
Volume 2.
Yep. Homage cover from February 89. So basically it gives you a quick synopsis of what's been going on. He's just sitting on a meteor thinking about his life. He had just come back from a pocket universe where basically he'd fought some Kryptonian villains and Brainiac. So he has to decide what he's going to do with himself. Basically in Metropolis, he had assumed the identity of Gangbuster and he didn't even know it. So he was like, kind of like blacking out and becoming Gangbuster while he thought he was actually asleep. So he cannot allow a split identity'd personality. I don't know what the proper word is there. He can't have two identities and a bad one take over while he's Superman, because that's just too dangerous. So he's basically banished himself to space. Back in Metropolis, the report of what actually was going on with Inner Gang has hit Perry White's desk, and he's like, this is the hot ticket. I got to make sure to get this in the presses right away. Somehow, Supes is back on the dead world in the pocket universe, and he's really confused by what's going on. Then he blinks out of existence. Morgan Edge is reading the paper and he's going, holy shit, they found out that I'm part of Intergang. I forgot about that, that he was. So that must have been from the 80s reboot that he was tied into like bad stuff. He wasn't a villain in the 70s, was he?
No. I thought he had bad intentions with stuff.
Oh, okay.
Though.
Okay. Then we go back to Lex's house. We got your favorite Kaluan strapped down, and he's like, and this is like goateed Brainiac, which was, he's one of my favorite versions. He's freaking out because he's tied into Superman's consciousness at this point, and because Supes has gone to this pocket universe, he can no longer feel him. They have hired a private detective, Matthew Stockton, to go search around Clark Kent's place and see what's going on. And then Clark is on an alien planet, and he saves an alien, and everybody's super grateful, and he flies back out into space alone. The private dick goes to Clark's house. Funnily enough, he has dark hair and looks kind of Clark-ish, but he's not wearing glasses. You would think they would tell an assassin that. And he says, you never should have crossed us. You're dead. And the Intergang assassin kills him. So there you go. That's basically the quick gist of what happened in Superman 28. Really good issue. A lot of backstory.
I always think of Intergang as that Manaham guy or whatever with the mustache.
Yeah.
He looks very Kirby looking. Like his, he almost looked like Neanderthal.
Yeah.
He does. But yeah, this was a good one. And anytime you can get that Roger Stern run, you're pretty much gonna get a good issue. So
I love Superman.
Yeah, he's my absolute favorite.
He's becoming my favorite, like, overall, just because I haven't read a bad one in such a long time.
I was going to say one last thing before I get out of here. If y'all are reading Marvel's, have you tried out the newest Captain America?
I have.
Oh, I read the first issue.
Did you like it?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Cool. I did too.
Yeah, I was going to say, I hope Straczynski stays on and gets the story finished, because it started out really strong. I read that one yesterday, and that was probably the favorite thing I read yesterday.
Yeah, that was very good.
Yeah, because it's getting to the core of Steve Rogers, like,
yeah.
But with all the flashbacks and stuff,
I just love that he's just at his house and the Invisible Woman pops up. She's like, "Yeah, we got a mission. We could really use you." And then they grab him, and then he like shows him later passed out on his lawn. I mean, it's just good stuff.
Did he call Tony for money just so he could be the landlord?
Yeah. Because he wanted to buy his building. Yep.
Fucking everybody calls Tony for money. Because, like, I'm just reading now the Daredevil Chip run, and he's calling him to buy Hell's Kitchen. Like, Tony, I need you to buy Hell's Kitchen. Why? Because this evil married couple is going after it, and they're going to do this. So he agrees. He agrees to do it, but then Elektra buys it. It's so cool. I just love it.
All right, my brethren, y'all have a good rest of the episode. I'll talk to y'all later.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks for joining us. Have a good day.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
So, are you going to continue with Saw?
No, probably not.
No?
I don't think so. What? I think that one movie was fantastic, but I don't think the rest of them are the same, are they?
I would. I'd continue with it.
Are they just as good? They're not as good, right?
I think they're good, if not better.
Better?
Yes, I think there's better, but I don't know. Maybe I'm. Who am I to say? I say you're, Christmas Vacation's one of the
Mike
best
Myers.
Christmas movies ever, and you hate it. So it's like,
come on.
Yeah, so it's like I don't know what to recommend to you, but I would continue.
Well, I could try a second one. If I don't like the second one, then I'll just stop.
No, go watch Hostel first.
You want me to watch Hostel?
And then decide if you want to watch Saw 2.
Okay. Well, one doesn't have anything to do with the other, though, right?
No. They're just two movies that fall in the same genre, I guess you could say, of horror.
Okay.
Well, that are I would say they're classified as the same, because they're two movies that you avoided for the same reasons.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm going to talk about something you'd absolutely hate.
Oh my God!
Yeah.
What?
Yes, you don't want anything to do with this because.
Really?
Yeah, because it falls into the Saw in the
Is it
the
a comic
Hostel.
Book or a movie?
It's a comic book.
Well, let's hear it.
It's Tim V. Hill's Grips. Well, I guess it's not Tim V. Hill's. It's
what is
Chris,
it?
Chris Silver Grips.
Grips?
Yeah, it's one of Tim. Do you know who Tim V. Hill is?
Sure. You and Bill talk about him all the time.
Yeah, well, he falls into a category you probably wouldn't like. He's a shock. He's known for Faust.
Hey,
that's,
comic
that's
books
what he's
don't
known.
Bother me. It's just comic
he's
books.
No, he's known for. So a movie's just a movie.
Takes 2 hours to watch a movie, though.
Yeah, it could take 2 hours to enjoy a comic book.
I guess. You're not a very good reader.
So I think this is one of Tim V. Hill's early works, if not his first.
Okay, but I'm looking at the cover. Grips.
Grips is from Silver Wolf.
Is this a superhero?
He's kind of like a vigilante Wolverine character.
Okay.
1986, so... He's after Wolverine for sure, but is he before Dark Knight? I
right.
don't know. Like before things got really dark, it's
yeah.
close.
Because
yeah. Dark Knight's 86, 87, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if like this is when characters vigilantes became dark. Like even Green Arrow became dark with Mike Grell and
the Longbow Hunters.
Longbow Hunters, yeah. So this is. I don't know if he beat stuff to the punch, but I think his goal was like there's not enough violence and superheroes and I'm going to make a really violent Wolverine. Like the reason I say Wolverine is because he's got a claw that comes out on both sides.
Yeah.
And he also has like this gauntlet that'll shoot darts. It looks like it shoots bullets too. Like, and he just like, he'll just annihilate people. Well, the scene, this is number one and two that I'm talking about. It's kind of a shallow book. Like it's not, there's not like a lot of meat, but if you like to see one of your favorite artists, like if Tim V. Hill's your thing and you read Faust, you probably want to pick this up and see like what he did before Faust. So this guy, he writes comics for a living, believe it or not. And he writes like Fat Ninja. So, or he draws it. And interesting enough, this guy, Chris Silver, owns a company called Silver Wolf that has a comic book called Fat Ninja. So that's like a link into what... I don't know, own any of these other comic books from Silver Wolf. But he's got one called The Eradicators, Fat Ninja, and The Dungeoneers. And then there's several others that you could see on the back. And Grips went beyond his collaboration with Tim V. Hill because he had a volume two. But in this one, it opens up with a girl that's scantily dressed in some kind of dress. And this... guy who looks like a geek that works with computers getting mugged, and this guy just comes out of the street and rips him apart, like violently, like rips heads off, stabs him in the eyes, shoots him up, slices him, like his blade will just like slice through their whole body, like spine and everything. So like if he starts at your head, it'll slice all the way down to your gut, and your guts are coming out. And he rescues these people and kind of just leaves them there for the cops. He then raids a criminal organization that's into drugs and takes all their money. So, like, he keeps the money, too, which is interesting because he's not, like, giving it to the poor, turning over the cops. He's keeping the money as he's doing this vigilante stuff. Well, the criminal organization gets wind of him busting stuff up, and he doesn't seem to be able to get stopped by anything. So they hire a couple of vigilantes at the end of issue one to go after him. One of the guys kind of holds his own for the most part, but the other guy gets slaughtered immediately, and then he guts his groin area. He just like gets that claw and he goes, stabs it all the way up his dick. And this guy falls to the ground and he's like bleeding everywhere. And he's like, just kill me. And he leaves him there. He doesn't kill him. He just lets him there to suffer. So that's the kind of guy that Grips is. And, they hire one other guy at the end of issue two. So it's just basically this criminal organization. He's trying to flesh out who the kingpin of crime is, essentially. And he's going up the stages of criminals that they're throwing at him because they try to get more eradicators to vigil. Mercenaries they hire to fight him, and they don't seem to be making a dent. But these books are interesting, especially if you're a Tim V. Hill fan. And I did hear him talk about why he left this guy is because this guy didn't pay him very well. So like if this was a $3 book, he would get a third. And he says for what he wrote, I was doing all the work. And what he was saying is $1 goes to me, $1 goes to you, and then the other dollar goes to the company. And he was like, well, you're the company, so that's like $2 to you. So that's why he, I guess, had a falling out with this guy and went his own direction and went to North Star. But it's pretty cool stuff if you're into that shock, or if you're into Tim V. Hill for sure.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
So you enjoyed it.
I did, but I knew what I was going to get. Like, I know what Tim V. Hill is, and I liked his Faust and stuff, so I've been wanting to sink this out. Kurt is the guy that turned me on to Grips, and I know I think he bought Grips off the shelf when it came out, so. 1986. Cool.
Yeah, that was a year. That's for
just,
sure.
Just shows you what Kurt was reading back then.
That's right. All right, well, I got another one. This one's a little bit more lengthy. I've been going back and I'm reading these in the hardcovers. It's Tales from the Crypt, number 29, from EC Comics. From, it doesn't have the year here, but, you know, the early 50s.
Yep.
So the first one is pretty, the first story, there's a few stories in here, of course, and first one's kind of creepy, really well done. It's called Grounds for Horror. And what happens is this little boy's stepfather is kind of a jerk, and anytime the kid gets in trouble, disobeys, he locks the kid in the closet. And he has to stay in there until he decides to let him out. And the mom thinks that this is too extreme, and he's afraid of the dark. The kid's afraid of the dark, and he's screaming, wants to come out, and stuff like that. And stepdad doesn't want to hear about it. He says that he's spoiled, and he needs to learn discipline. So he also owns they live in an apartment that's in
oh,
back.
Could we assume he does this to frighten the kid because he did something bad?
Or... Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's like a spanking, except I'm going to put you in the closet.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
And he's a butcher. The stepfather's a butcher. He owns a shop in front of the apartment. They live behind there. And so he, you know, excuses himself, said he's got to get ready for tomorrow. He's got a side of beef to cut or whatever. And
The mom is just, you know, upset that the poor kid's crying in the closet and she doesn't dare to let him out. And before too long, the boy starts laughing in there, and he's talking, and he's laughing, and he's like, "Oh my God, that scoundrel! He's not afraid at all." So anyhow, shortly after, the stepfather comes back and he unlocks the door, and you know, he says, "Okay, get out. You know, I've got to get out of there. That's enough time. I need you to deliver an order for me." He said, "Okay." And the boy leaves the closet, turns around, and says, "I hope to see you again." And you know, he said, "Who are you talking to in there?" Said, "Oh, nobody. I was just playing." So gives him a package of meat, says, "You know, you got to deliver this to this woman." So now, and get back here as soon as possible. You got to clean the chopping block when you get back. I said, "Okay." So he goes and delivers the meat, and on the way back, he meets up with a couple other kids, and they say, "Come on, we're gonna play hide and seek." He's like, "I can't. I gotta go home. I gotta clean daddy's chopping block." And they go just for a little bit. Comes back at. It's already dark outside now by the time he gets back. Of course, the stepfather loses his cool and says, "You know, you were out playing, weren't you?" And he's like, "Yes." "Like, I told you not to stop." He's like, "Get in there and scrub that chopping block. I want it spotless." He said, and the little boy said, Artie says, "Yes, Daddy, you're going to put me in the closet again after that?" And he's like, "That's exactly what I'm going to do." So he cleans the chopping block.
Sounds like he wants to go to the closet.
That's exactly. He's got a big smile on his face too.
Yeah.
And then he's, and that's what he says. And then he gets done, and he's like, "I'm finished, Daddy. You're gonna put me in the closet now." She's like, "Yeah, that's right. With supper too." And he goes, "Okay, Daddy." So he sits down. He's got this big smile on his face. He's like, "I'm ready." So he's like, "Next time you'll listen when I tell you to do something." And he closes the door, and the mom is frantic again because this time the boy hasn't had anything to eat. And they close it up, and she's like, "Oh, he's not crying. He seems like he wanted to be locked in." And the stepfather, like, "That kid's crazy." And so they start arguing. He's like, "See, what you did to him is actually affecting his well-being. He talks and laughs. He laughs and talks to himself in there now." And he's like, I'm going out to play cards. Remember, no supper." So the mom says, "Okay." And she's listening at the door, and she hears Artie talking. He's like, no, not that. He isn't that bad. Oh, okay, that'll be okay." And she opens the door, and he gasps. And she says, "You must be hungry. Come here, I'm going to give you something to eat." And he says, "Daddy," around, like, no, but please don't tell him that I fed you something. So she gives him some jam and bread and a glass of milk. And she starts asking him questions. He said, "Oh, no, yeah, I'm talking to my friend in there." Like, "Your imaginary friend?" "Oh, no, he's real. And he wants to punish Daddy for punishing me, but he wanted to do something horrible to him. But I said, no, don't do that. I said, it's okay if you just push him down the stairs so he falls just a little bit." And, sure enough, the husband comes back unexpectedly, and he sees the kid out there eating his bread and jam. Starts yelling, "I told you not to feed him." He comes walking in and falls and lands right on his face. And he's like, "I felt a pair of hands shove me." And so the kid's just sitting there smiling. He's like, what are you laughing at me? You think this is funny?" He's like, "Get back in there." So he throws him in the closet again, right? And he leaves again to slice some more. So he's constantly coming in and out, of course. And the mom is there by the door and says, and hears the little boy arguing again. And they're like, "No, not that. Okay, maybe just his finger." And no sooner does that happen, but the mom hears a scream coming from the front and from the store. He's like, "I just cut off the tip of my finger." So, you know, they go to the hospital and now he's got it all bandaged up, and he's ordering the boy about the next day and cleaning the chopping block. And he's like, "Daddy, that's not clean." He's like, "I did it as hard as I could." He's like, "I'm going to beat you within an inch of your life, and then I'm going to lock you in the closet until your mom comes home."
And he's like, no, don't hit me. He's like, my friend won't like it. So the mom comes back and she hears that Artie's crying hysterically in the closet. And she lets him out and says, you know, what's wrong? And he's like, oh, I tried to stop him, but he wouldn't listen. Daddy hit me and it made my friend so angry. He said this time he'd take care of it and I couldn't stop him. He's like, well, what did he do? And so the imaginary friend said, I was going to do the terrible thing. And then I heard Daddy screaming and they hear this humming noise. It's like, and she's like, what's that humming? And he goes, it's the meat grinder. Daddy, he put me, Daddy in the meat grinder. And they go to the front. And sure enough, right in the meat refrigerator, there's a grinder still going. And there's just a pile of disgusting looking ground meat just overflowing off of the table onto the floor. And that's what's left of the stepdaughter.
What? Who did it, though? Was there really a monster?
It was
or they
really
never showed
his imaginary
it?
Friend that was like a demon.
Did they show
like
it? Did
no,
they show it?
They didn't show the imaginary friend at all. They just show the results.
So it could have just been the kid.
Yeah, but he was really locked in the closet, so he couldn't get out.
Oh, he was locked in, so he couldn't have done that to his dad.
No, yeah, when the mom came home, he was crying in the closet. He was locked in.
Ah.
And the dad was all chopped up. They made, as the crypt keeper said, they made mincemeat out of him.
Did you get spanked? When
no,
you were a kid?
Once.
That's all it took,
about,
right?
How about you?
I got spanked, yeah, a couple times, yeah. But not a lot, just when I fucked up.
You could tell they didn't. My parents didn't really like it. They ended up, I mean, I didn't give them a lot of
confidence. Well, my parents didn't want to do it. They just did it because
yeah.
I really did something bad.
Yeah, I don't even remember what I did that they finally gave me a spanking, but that was it.
Yeah, I got a couple. One time I locked my dad out, like I hid in my room too, and that didn't make things any better.
No, I'm sure not.
I was like, you want something to cry about? I'll give you something to cry about.
No, I find myself saying that.
You want something to cry about?
Really?
I'll give you something to cry about.
Like, I'm saying all the things that I hated.
And that's when you, I was already crying, but it would make me go like, try to hold it in so you wouldn't
yeah.
get a whooping, you know? If I, yeah. if I hold back the tears.
I'm telling you, it's like, I sit there, I'm like, oh my God, I sound exactly like my dad or my mom or whatever. It's like everything that I said I wasn't going to do.
Yeah.
But we don't. We haven't spanked them. We don't.
Yeah.
I honestly, when they were little and they would like do some stuff, we did the timeout thing, and they would cry when we
yeah.
just put them timeout and
put them in the yeah. closet.
I don't remember the last time we did anything.
Did you lock them in the closet?
No.
Timeout. No. Get in that closet, like Tales from the Crypt.
Our kids are so well behaved. It's not even funny. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's incredible. All right, so the second story is a rotten trick. And it's this guy. What's his name? I got to find his name. Clint Ashton. And he's it starts in the present, and he's trying to get away, get out of the country. And who can he turn to? And he realizes he's like the only person that he knows is Nick. He's like, I know Nick hates me, but maybe he can maybe he'll be willing to help me out. And then he thinks back to a couple of years prior, and he had been attracted to this singer, this jazz singer. They're in Italy, by the way. And her name's Essie, and Clint really fell for her and wanted to see her. And she's like, well, you know, I'm due to be married to another man. He's like, well, you're not married yet, so come on, let's go out or whatever. And they start seeing each other, and she's like, Nick won't like this. Nick won't this. Well, you know, we won't let Nick know. And so they start seeing each other more and more. And at one point, they're driving, and suddenly the brakes go out, and the car goes out of control, and
Clint manages to jump out just in the nick of time, and Essie does not, and it actually goes over an embankment. And it doesn't kill her, but she ends up being badly hurt and very disfigured. And Clint ends up actually going to Nick to apologize and said, you know, I'm so sorry. And Nick's like, yeah, she's going to be disfigured for life. And Clint says, yes, I know. I spoke to the doctor. And Nick's like, well, you're going to marry her now, right? This doesn't make a difference. And Clint's like, I'm not marrying her. She was engaged to you. I never intended to marry her. It's like, but Essie gave me back my ring and said that you talked about it. And Clint says, hey, talk is cheap. Anyway, in any case, I'd be a fool to marry her now. And that just, you know, makes Nick irate and like, you know, this was all just a game. And he's like, yeah, that's right. Exactly. It was a game. And now it's been called due to rain. And I'm hitting the road. So go ahead and marry her. And Nick says, I will if she'll have me. So,